It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in lovely Kansas City. It's a cool day in Kansas City today. A little rainy, a little chilly. I don't know what it's like where you're at, but I hope it's the weather is better for you than it is here in KC. I want to welcome everybody to the show. We've got a good show lined up for you today. Wayne Johnson picked up his 10th win down at Devil's Bowl Speedway on Friday night, on prelim night down at Devil's Bowl Speedway for the 49th annual Spring Nationals. We're going to be talking to him here in a little bit. We've got a great show lined up for you the rest of the week. Tomorrow, Steve Post will join us for his annual visit with us here on Mostly Motorsports. On Thursday, we got a really good show for you lined up. It's the Trenton and Trent Show on Thursday. We're going to have Trenton Barry on. He's going to talk about what's going on down at Humboldt Speedway this weekend. Newsflash, they have canceled practice for Wednesday night down at Humboldt, and I think they're going to practice a little bit before they start racing on Thursday night. And then later on in that show on Thursday, we're going to have T.O. Trent Owens, who is the crew chief at the cup level for Justin Haley, and he will join us and talk about, unfortunately for T.O., he has been suspended for the last 4 weeks. They lost a tire at the very first race of the year. They appealed that suspension, and unfortunately, it was upheld. And Trent Owens will talk to us about that and more and what's going on with the 31 car. I don't know if you know this about Trent Owens, but Trent Owens, the first race he ever crew chief for anybody at any level, was for yours truly right here. 2003, Trent Owens was my crew chief for my first ARCA race at Kansas Speedway. I ran across him through a friend of mine, Jack Johnson, that was living down in North Carolina. He's Richard Petty's nephew. And, man, he is just as good as they come. And I'm telling you, he made all the difference in my debut in ARCA. I qualified 11th for that first race out of, I think, 47 cars, 50 cars, something like that. And Trent Owens was the reason for that. He knew everything that we needed. He knew the shocks, the springs, the sway bars. He knew how to set up the car. And J.J. Sonneveld and myself put that car together, communicating with Trent Owens down in North Carolina. And that car was pretty fast because of that. We had Dan Begley Motors in that car. It was a really good time in my life. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Trent Owens, again, will join us, Cup Crew Chief. He's got one victory. He picked up a victory with Eric Alamarola at Daytona 1 year. So we'll talk to T.O. on Thursday. Then on Friday, we're going to do Phone Fun Friday. That's what we do. Kirk Elliott and Austin O'Neill and I will sit there and shoot the bull with you on Friday. So, Austin, how you doing today, buddy? You doing all right?
Not too bad.
Yeah? Man, we were just, I know this is Mostly Motorsports, and you know, we get off topic a little bit once in a while, but we were just looking at some video of a pickup truck. And this is in Elgin, Texas, right?
Yes.
Elgin, Texas, which is about 25 miles east of Austin. And Austin and I were watching this video, and a tornado was going through Elgin, Texas, and this pickup truck was driving right through the tornado at the time it struck. And if you look at this video right now, you'll look at this pickup truck. It gets thrown up on its side, blown down the road, then it lands on its tires again, and what's the driver do? He throws it down to drive and drives off. Now, we're not sure. I think his side windows are broken out right there. Don't you think,
Austin?
That's
what it looks like.
It looked like his windows were blown out. I don't know if that's from the debris or being blown over on his side. But when you watch this video, it shows you how close a person can get to death, right? I mean, just think about that. Your truck, you're blowing down the highway. The tornado hits you, throws you up on the driver's side of your truck, slides you down the highway. Next thing you know, the wind blows you back over on your four tires. You throw it down a drive, and you drive off.
He better go to the local gas station and pick up a lottery ticket.
You think there might be some poo in his pants?
I think he's got a lot of issues
right
there.
I think he's got
a
big old skid mark right down in the middle of his underwear. I think so. That is unbelievable.
It is. I mean, you don't see tornadoes like that. Was a young tornado in its life, and he got really lucky.
A young tornado? How do you know that?
Well, it was small, but still, I mean, it was big enough to knock him over.
It was big enough to blow him over on his side.
But still, I mean, he got lucky that it wasn't a well developed tornado.
I want to see that. Can you show me that again?
Just can't stop watching.
I know it is unbelievable that this driver was able to walk away. Because look, it's blowing down poles. He's sliding down the side of the road. This is a Chevy commercial all the way. Somebody needs to make this.
We need to see it.
Somebody needs to make this a commercial.
It has 3.6 million views on Twitter alone.
Isn't that crazy?
And if it's not on the
commercial. Was this mirror still on there, Austin? Roll that back again one more time. We'll take a look at it one more time. I want to know. Look. It looks like he come out of the medium.
I think he was in the medium, yeah.
Yeah. And now he's sliding around down the road.
His left side mirror has to be gone.
It has to be gone, doesn't it?
I wish. I'll look at the comments and see if we can track down.
Let's take a look, see if his mirror's still in there. I can't tell.
You can't. Yeah. There's so much water on the guy's windshield, you can't see it. But, man, I would love to see aftermath pictures of that guy's truck. I hope someone knows that guy.
Somebody needs to get a hold of that guy and do a story on him on the news. Because that's what you call cheating death right there. Isn't that right, Austin?
Yeah.
I mean, is that the biggest case of cheating death right there?
Well, look at this. This is the comments section. It's a red truck once again, and it's like Twister. When they go through the tornado.
Oh, that's right, but it's a Dodge.
Yeah, it's a Dodge. Then they cut it to the truck laying over on its side instead of the Dodge.
That's unbelievable. And the headlights were still working.
I know. Dude, hopefully you made it home good.
Man, I would have pissed my pants if that would have happened to me. This is it. I know. This is it. I'm going down. This is it. I'm dying right here on the spot. And I drive off. Throw it down and drive and hit the road.
Well, I can tell you, he's probably well trained to drive a sprint car now.
Oh, dude.
He's probably not afraid of going upside down.
Let's talk a little bit about racing here, Austin. They pulled the plug on practice at King of America 11 down at Humboldt. They're not going to be practicing on Thursday night as they had planned on. I think what their plans are now, they're going to practice just before they start the races on Thursday. Is that right?
Yeah, I was reading the press release here on racingboys.com, and they do say that they're going to try and do like a two-hour practice Thursday afternoon around 3 o'clock, and then they will go into the nightly program to start the King of America.
Weather forecast for Humboldt, Missouri. We're going to check out the weather down there this weekend because, listen, if the weather is a problem, you've got an option, right? You can watch it on Racing Dirt.
That's probably going to be my alternative. I know in Kansas City it's going to be 36 on Thursday, and it's going to rain tomorrow's Wednesday, so it's going to rain Wednesday and Thursday. So there's no sense in me trying to drive down there to watch it.
No, there's no sense in that at all. All right, so it looks like on Friday a high of 62, Thursday a high of 51. A low of 34, so it's going to be colder than hell on Thursday night, right?
Yeah, they're going to have a mess of a time. We'll be interested to hear what Trenton has to say Thursday about what the track surface is like, but I bet you they're going to have a mess trying to get it rolled in.
Right. Well, so, but if you don't want to go down there and freeze your ass off, you can go to racingdirt.com and watch the race. On Friday, a high of 62, a low of 36. On Saturday, a high of 61, a low of 38.
Frigid.
I don't know. That's not going to help the crowd any.
No.
You know, one of these situations like this, Austin, do you sit there and you think about changing the date? Just because
yes.
You got to look at how much rain we're going to get this week, right? You're going to have a lot of rain this week. I think it's supposed to rain every day, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
today every day. Today and tomorrow, for sure. Yeah.
So, and last night, it rained hard last night.
It rained hard. I know I got probably, so, you know, like on the garage doors, so like when they sit like on the pavement.
Right.
They have like a little lip.
Yeah.
I know I had that much water. It was level with my floor in my shop. That's how much water we had here. So it probably rained. I didn't look at the rain gauge when I left the house this morning.
It has to be a couple inches,
didn't it? It has to be. I mean, it wasn't a downpour, but it was just enough rain all day consistently.
Yeah.
To where it just never soaked in.
You know what I did last night, Austin?
What'd you do?
It was raining pretty hard outside. You know what I went and did?
What's that?
I went and sat in the hot tub.
Yeah. There you go.
Have you ever sat in a hot tub when it rains?
Nope.
Oh.
Never been in one.
You've never been in a hot tub?
No.
Never?
No.
What, are you freaked out about them or something?
No.
You just don't want to get in them because you're worried about somebody else's something or what?
No, I've never been in one.
Really?
I hardly go swimming, too. I can swim, but I don't do it.
How do you know how to swim if you don't ever go swimming?
Well, I've went in the past, but anymore I don't. You don't hardly see me anymore.
You're not a confident swimmer?
I can swim just fine, but I don't. I'm not a regular.
Does that mean you're confident swimming?
Yeah, I can swim.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if you had to swim across a big pond, you think you can make it across if you had to?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm not so sure.
You're not.
My fat ass run out of gas before I get over there. That's all I know. But yeah, with all the rain that we've been getting this week, I'd have to sit here and take a real hard look at maybe. You know, the problem is with USMTS is that they have so many great dates, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might be hard to find an off weekend somewhere.
Well, that's kind of why you see that race, you know, early in the year.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, one, it fits in well. Nothing's really taken off around here, but that's what you kind of, that's the battle you go with when you try and do something early. You know, you're going to fight the weather. And I mean, it's spring started this past Sunday. So, you know, it's just what you're going to get now. But hopefully they can move it. You know, I would hate to see it get canceled.
Well, I don't know if they would cancel it altogether. But I think what they probably end up doing is just trying to find an open date somewhere. But again, you'd have to, I don't know the USMTS schedule, you know, just by memory.
Yes, yeah.
But if I went in there and looked at it, I bet you it'd be hard to find a date. They have so many great dates, man. You know? The total purse for that weekend is going to be $200,000.
Jeez.
For the King
Not
of America.
Not a bad payday.
That's got to be one of the top races for USMTS, isn't it?
Now, I don't know all the crown jewel events they have, but yeah. I would say it's been on the schedule for so long now that it's in the top three.
Right. Thursday night's going to pay $3,000. Friday night's going to pay $5,000. And Saturday night, they're going to pay $15,000.
Wow. That's crazy.
I don't think they pay more than $15,000 at very many races, do they?
I don't think so.
I think that's about as maximum as they get, right?
That's
other than the championship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to think that they got to take a hard look at it. You know, if I'm Johnny Allen. Johnny Allen, you know, is the new promoter down there. You know, they've changed ownerships down at Humboldt. Johnny Allen is one of the guys that's involved with that down there. If you're a promoter and you're looking at all this rain, do you go to USMTS and you say, "Hey, listen, let's think about this for a second"? I mean, you're the promoter. If you're putting on the show and you're the ones going to have to pull the money out of your pocket.
Well, yes, it's both their risk because, one, you don't want to go out there and have a national event like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
be ran on a rough track. There's just no sense in it. You don't want to have, you know, something not go right and, you know, it be at fault of this touring series or the track.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see the Knoxville Nationals being ran, you know, in between like a rain delay.
Right.
You know,
you're right.
You don't see that a lot of the big events. So, I mean, you have to know what your limit is and make the best choice because you don't want to go out there and cost the racer a lot of money because you'll never make that back,
right.
You know, at that event,
right,
you know,
right.
Unless you win it. But, I mean, if you're having issues, you're not going to win it. So,
right.
Yeah, hopefully they make the right call here and, you know, they save everybody a lot of money.
Well, listen, especially if they're going to get rained out a couple nights,
yeah.
Don't cost these guys a bunch of fuel money, right? As we know, that's the worst-case scenario right now. So it looks like the pits are going to open up at 2 p.m. That's a tentative time on Thursday. The gates will open up at 5 o'clock. The pit meeting will be at 5:15. Qualifying will be at 5:45. General admission is $25 if you'd like to go down there. You can get a three-day pass for $75. They do have military and senior discounts for people 62-plus. That's $20, or you can buy a three-day pass for $60. And kids 6 to 12 are $5, and under 6 are free. Pit passes are $40 or 3 days for $120. Kids are $30 for the 3 days. $30 a day or a three-day pass is $75. Boy, if you want everybody to show up down there and you want to get all that kind of money, because, listen, that's a lot of money
mm-hmm.
to be drawn in,
yeah.
you know, for three-day pit passes and whatnot. I'm going to have to, if I'm Johnny Allen, I'm going to have to put a lot of thought to this.
Well, right, and then, you know, at least he has plenty of experience here in the recent years of promoting 81 Speedway, so yeah. he knows what it takes and how he can break even, and you got to make the best business decision for you and the racers.
No, I agree with you. I just think that it's going to be a little tough for them to pull that off this weekend. It's just my opinion. I hate to say that because we want to see it, right? We want to see that event take place. And, you know, a lot of guys want to race for that $15,000 to win on Saturday night and that $5,000 to win. $3,000 win still a pretty good payday on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can get above a grand, I know the weekly tracks around here like Lakeside and Lucas Oil, they pay about $750 to a grand. So, you know, if you take a local car down there and you race for $3,000, that's almost running three nights in a row. So, yeah, I mean, anytime you got money like that, you got to be cautious with it. But, I mean, they're going to pull the cars no matter what. I just, like we said, we've been saying here, you just got to see what will happen.
Right. Another big race this weekend is the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. They're going to be running down at I-30 Speedway, Little Rock, Arkansas. Hammer Hill, you've raced there, haven't you?
No, have not.
You've never been there?
Nope.
That's a track that you should go to.
That's so at the end of this year, we're either
going
to go.
Are you going to short track?
It's between short track or Devil's Bowl. We'll see what happens when we get there.
I would go to short track if I were you.
We'll see.
You don't know?
We don't know.
Who makes that decision at your race shop?
Me.
That,
me.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, I.
Would you rather race on a half mile than a quarter mile?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you like.
Well,
do you feel more comfortable because you.
Less chance of getting torn up.
Well, that's true. There is a lot of truth to that.
I did hit a tractor tire at Devil's Bowl 2 years ago and wiped out two cars. So there
right,
been a
right. Then there's that.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you don't make any mistakes, then you should be all right. But I mean, you get tore up anywhere you go. You just got to look at. Really, it's just fuel. That's the thing I'm racing around right now is just fuel, and that's like everybody else.
Well, let me tell you, it's closer to Little Rock than it is to Devil's Bowl.
Right.
So just so you know, if you're talking about fuel. But then again, you have to pull through the mountains down in Arkansas to get down to Little Rock. So it might use a little more fuel doing that.
Well, then you look at the car count, too. You get 70-ish cars at Little Rock, and let's say you get 30 at Devil's Bowl.
But you want to compete against the best.
No, you're right. You're going to do that no matter what track you're at. It's the national tour, but
right.
Where's the best shot I got at making the show? So I hate to race that way, but anymore, it's kind of the way you have to do it.
Yeah. Wouldn't you tell me your first race is going to be?
We're hoping it to be April 2nd at 81 Speedway. That's my goal.
Better take some tire money.
Well, it's gotten better. I went down there my first year racing a sprint car, and it took rubber in the heat races. And
How many tires did you use that night?
Just one set.
A whole set?
Yeah. It was the last race of the year. So
how much a whole set of tires?
About a grand.
Yeah.
500 for a set of fronts and about 500 for a set of rears. About
not nice. I don't like that.
No,
we got to get the cost of racing down a little bit.
I wish it cost like a modified.
There's nothing that we can do
to bring
the cost of racing down.
No, I wish
all we can do is talk about it, Austin.
Yeah,
maybe we can whip them down into submission.
If
we just talk about it enough that this damn tire money is getting a little too expensive. What were the tires last year?
238 for a left rear, 220 for a right rear.
And what are they this year?
I think 275 for a rear.
So they went
about $50.
$50 a tire.
Yep.
There's something wrong with that, bud.
Oh, I know.
We need to find you a tire sponsor.
I got one. I got a little bit of. He helps a little bit, but well, anything's better than nothing.
It's not old Scott, that's for sure.
No.
All I do is buy fire suits. That's all I do.
You got good looking ones too. Blake has a nice one, and I got a nice one. You got black and yellow, so.
Blake's getting a new one this year. Oh. He's going to have the Mostly Motorsports on his chest this year. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm a little outdated then. I got the old Racing Boys logo
on. I know it. But, you know, it's going to be kind of cool to see the Mostly Motorsports on there. I'm getting him some crew shirts, too.
Oh,
I buy Blake a fire suit every year.
Yeah.
You know, it's just my thing that I do for him. You know, I can't tell you how much I care about that kid and his wife, Sierra, and his dad, Tommy, and his crew chief, Dalton. Those people mean more to me than you can imagine, man. It's just you know, the Hahn family's been very, very good to me over the years, right? So it's hard not to want to pull for Blake Hahn. And you pull for him too, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Deidre does. When she watches the races, she starts screaming bloody murder for Blake.
That's how my mom sounds. No, we bought our engine from Blake, and they've been great help, and always a good time when you hang out with Tommy, Blake, and Dalton, so...
Yeah,
it's kind of hard not to be a big fan of Blake.
If we only had one of his rider motors up here.
Oh, man, I don't even want to know what that cost.
I know. I wish I could afford to buy one, but I can't.
I don't want to know the cost of it. It's too much.
It's too much. It's those motors are really powerful, make a lot of power, and maybe one of the better 360 motors out there right now.
Sure.
I would think
they've kind of taken the 360, you know, scene by the storm or by storm, you know, in recent years.
Yeah, they were really a 410 group.
Yeah.
Before that, but man, they've really come around. You see a lot of people running those Ryder motors down there. So, all right. Well, listen, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Wayne Johnson join us here on the show. He picked up his 10th victory down at Devil's Bowl Speedway last Friday night. It was night number one of the Luxville ASCS National Tour's 49th Annual Spring Nationals, and can't wait to talk to him. You know, Wayne's one of my favorite guys. Hung out with him a lot out on the road over the years, and we're going to talk to Wayne next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be back with more and Wayne Johnson next.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Spirit Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Reno
whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is a longtime friend of the Racing Boys. Happy to see him pick up the victory down at Devil's Bowl on prelim night. Wayne Johnson joins us now on the show. Hey, Wayne, how you doing, bud? We lost him. All right, so we'll get him back on the phone here directly and talk to Wayne Johnson. Again, he picked up the victory, his 10th victory at Devil's Bowl this last Friday night. It was fun to watch him. The racing was so much better on Friday night than it was on Saturday night. You know, the track was just really rubbered up and locked down on Saturday night. I mean, it was just, everybody knew it. And there was a couple things there. Originally they were supposed to run the tire that they were started the night out with on Saturday night, but they made an adjustment because the track was so abrasive and so rubbered up that they allowed everybody to put on another phone. Let's go to him now. Wayne Johnson joins us on the show. Hey, Wayne, how you doing, bud?
Good, bud. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Congratulations. I was just telling everybody I was so happy for you to pick up that win on Friday night down there at Devil's Bowl. Track conditions were a lot better on Friday night than they were on Saturday night. Let's just kind of go back through and talk about your win on Friday.
Well, I mean, it's always good to get a win, but, you know, Devil's Bowl is one of my favorite racetracks anyway, but, yeah. You know, it's good to get a win. Hadn't had a win in a couple of years, actually, but, you know, I wasn't sure that I really had anything for Sam there. I just thought the only way I had anything for him was maybe in a lap traffic there and just needed to be close enough to him there when he got to traffic. So mm-hmm. It just ended up lap car messed him up a little bit. And then to get by him there, you know, I don't know, remember about five or six to go. And then, you know, after watching the replay of it, it looked like the top was starting to take rubber. And, you know, I'd ran the bottom the whole race except one corner. And that race would have been much longer. We might have got beat.
You afraid somebody would have found the rubber up top and went up there and got around you then, is what you're saying?
Well, I think Blake and Bergman both had found the rubber way before anyone else. And then, yeah. Like I say, I went up there, but I never felt it. But I went up there pretty early. So, but, yeah, no, those guys were definitely coming there towards the end. And then after watching the replay, like I say, a couple more laps, we might have been in trouble.
Yeah. I got to say, Blake, there's not many people that can roll the bottom as good as Blake Kahn, man. He is exceptional at rolling the bottom like that. He gets so close to that wall and those Uke tires down there. You're really good at it, too, but Blake just seems like he's pretty good at that. role in the bottom?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that he was as good as we were on the bottom. And I, on the video, you know, I kind of got away from him
right
after he started running the bottom. And I'm not sure why he did that, but the last lap or so, he really ran the top pretty hard there, and it looked like it was pretty good. And you know, I don't, hindsight, I don't know that I would have ever changed lanes, but the traffic was starting to get pretty heavy up there, so maybe I would have changed a lane if the race would have been another, you know, 5 or 10 laps. So yeah. Or maybe I would, I don't know. I just know that
how do you know
that watch the video there that I was, looked like I was getting ready to be a sitting duck.
Yeah, yeah. Wayne, you ran fourth on Saturday night. I'll just say it, you know, everybody knew the track was all rubbered up before they went out for that feature. How frustrating is that, knowing that you're going to burn off some tires and you know that you need to start up front? Where'd you start? You started third. I think you run fourth. When you know a track's going to rubber up like that, it's kind of frustrating a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, just especially, you know, with the price of these tires now. And, you know, and they limit you to one tire a night. Right? You know, they're only selling you one right rear tire a night. So it's definitely a struggle if you're going to have racetracks like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's racing. It's rubber down racing. We get that periodically. And, you know, I know that Lanny and those guys did the best job they could. You know, they worked it up really all day on Saturday, but yeah. The wind blew for 2 days straight.
Yeah.
A lot of racing on that thing, you know, probably more cars was at the Devil's Bowl than been there in quite a few years. So, you know, they did the best they could, you know, and then it gets so late. I know they don't want to work on that thing, you know,
right.
It was
midnight, you know, right. And, yeah.
And, you know, Terry did a good job of cutting the race, short because he wasn't going to pass anybody really for that, you know, especially once you got towards the front, you know, the front of the pack there, you're not going to pass those guys. Those guys are not going to move off the bottom or whatever. And
would your tire have made it 30 laps?
Man, I don't know. We probably could have went 5 more, but 30 would have been pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sure. Really and truly, on a rubber down racetrack like that, why? You know, I mean, it was rubber down from the get-go, so I don't really know why you'd even want to run any more laps, because the race really stunk anyway. You know, there wasn't much of a race.
It wasn't much of a race, that's for sure. But right now, I hate to say this, Wayne, but, you know, I just love to watch you run full-time with the National Tour. You're leading the points right now. Is there any chance that if you continue to lead the points that you might stay over there on the ASCS side and try to run for that $50,000?
Well, we're not racing anything for points.
Get that clear right now. No right points now. Nowhere.
Nowhere. We are going to race when and where we want to and have fun at it and go to win races and not worry about points, because points racing does make it stressful. And,
it does.
I've said this multiple times this year, our schedule is going to be dictated week by week. If we want to go, that's where we'll go. Or if the weather looks like it's bad, we'll go somewhere else.
Right.
We're not going to stress about weather or points or any of that stuff. We're just going to go have fun and win races.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Wayne, I got to step back in time a little bit. You know, you and I have talked about this several times, and I want to talk a little bit about it today. What year was it when you got, was it 2010 when you got hurt up at Grays Harbor?
Yeah, it was 2010. Yep.
It was 2010. I was there. If my memory serves me correct, you wheel hop Shane Stewart. Is that right?
Yep.
Yep. And listen, that was a tough time in your life right then. I want to go back because, to be honest with you, you weren't sure that you were ever going to drive a race car again. You weren't even sure if you were going to be able to keep your leg at that time. And I know our good friends over at the Steve King Foundation stepped in and helped you a little bit. I want to talk about the Steve King Foundation and what they meant to you when you were going through that tough time with your leg.
Well, I'll tell you right now, they do a great job. And they were actually special to me. I'm shocked. I still, to this day, do not know how it worked out, but I was hurt on Saturday.
Yep.
And Sunday morning, there was a, I don't remember, if, I mean, listen, I was on a lot of medication at that point, but
yeah.
I can't remember if it was $1,000 cash. I'm pretty sure it was $1,000 cash showed up at the hospital, and it was for my wife and my daughter for incidentals for being there, for food or whatever they needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you tell me how those guys did that, but it was pretty amazing. And not just the financial reasons, but, you know, they just really look after their racers. And anytime they need me for anything, I'm right there for them. And they, you know, there's donations. And if they ever need me for anything, all they got to do is pick up the phone. But for the most part, they are, it's just an awesome group that they're just taking care of the injured drivers. Because,
yeah.
you know, a lot of us, or I shouldn't say a lot of us, but there's a lot of race car drivers that don't have any income other than racing, or, you know, they have, don't have insurance that covers it or whatever, but, they're awesome. I don't even know how else to say it other than, you know, they are great people and they do a lot for our sport, for the injured drivers.
Didn't they help your wife and your child fly to the Pacific Northwest as well, if I'm not mistaken?
No, I don't think they helped with any of that because, like I say, they left in the middle of the night. I mean, I was hurt at, you know, 10 o'clock, and
yeah.
they were on a flight like 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't think there was ever any of that, but they definitely stepped up and, you know, helped with lots of things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know the numbers, but they sent us money all the time. And heck, even when I got back in the car, probably too early, but went back to race, and a check showed up after I'd already ran a race. I think I ran a race at Devil's Ball, and then the next week I got a check from them, and I didn't feel right, so I sent it back, and they were like, no, that's yours. I'm like, no, I'm already back to work. I don't need it anymore.
Right.
But
yeah,
no, they're great people, and I can't say enough about them. I mean, and there's lots of behind the scenes that nobody knows there, but Danette, I can't remember. I think her name
is Danette. Yeah,
Danette. And Danette does a great job, and
she's
works
awesome.
Her butt off. And I know there's a lot more people than just Danette, but, you know, they do a great job. And I tell you, Steve was a great racer, and he was, you know, her, and that's her brother. And I think they're doing it all for a great cause.
How well did you know Steve?
I knew Steve pretty well. Raced quite a bit with him, and had some pretty fun times, you know, away from the races with him. And just was a great dude, you know, just gone way too soon.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Talk about that after your accident. I just want your mindset. How that had to be kind of depressing for you to not know exactly what your future was in racing. Was that a depressing time for you during that time?
Oh, definitely. You know, it was depressing because not only did I think my career was over, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was going to do next for work, or, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be able to walk again.
Right.
So there was a lot of things, you know, that went through my mind, and there was definitely some depression. And, you know, the first thing that they do at the hospital is give you pain medicine to make you really don't even know who you are. And
yeah.
there was just, it was just a challenging time for sure. And we just, you know, the good Lord looked after me and got me past that time in my life, and I don't look back at it. I can tell you that.
Was there ever a time when the doctors told you that you might lose your leg? Was that ever discussed?
Yeah, it was the first day after surgery. You know, it was touch and go, and my foot was still black as all get out, and they didn't know if it was going to take, and, you know, it was going to actually work. But after 3 or 4 days, it started to get color back, and the doctor was pretty sure that we were in good shape, and then just accelerated after that. And I worked really hard at trying to get it strong and get it back to flexibility. And, you know, I still work on it to this day. We're 12 years later, and I still don't have the flexibility that I had beforehand, but I'm also able to walk and do a lot of things that I wasn't sure I was going to get to do.
Yeah. Well, that had to be a scary time in life, you know, especially for a person that's a professional race car driver, not knowing exactly what their future is going to be. You know, I was there. That was a terrible weekend, really, to be honest with you. We lost Travis Perez that weekend, and we all know about the accident off the racetrack that him and Travis had, and that was just, it was just a horrible weekend that weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, I don't know what was in the air out there, if it was a full moon or what. But, yeah, you know, and then midget guy was actually hurt, you know, the race before me.
Oh, that's
fast.
Right. So yeah, yeah.
It was it's pretty crazy time, but I try not to think about it too much.
Yeah, but the great thing about it, when you came back to Grays Harbor the next year, you picked up the victory. Well, what was that?
Yeah.
What was that sensation like, coming back to the track where you nearly lost your leg and pick up the win? What was that like?
Well, I just, you know, I wanted to go back there because I wanted to basically, I mean, I guess I could say it because I think we're on the internet, but I wanted to prove myself and beat that bitch that was trying to beat me. And
yep.
And I was just really super focused to get back there and win at that racetrack and basically show that, you know, that it wasn't going to take my career away from me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Wayne, listen, man, I was so excited for you to pick up that victory on Friday night. 2 years since your last victory, how much of a mental release was it to pick up that victory on Friday night? Is there any kind of mental relief when you pick up a win after you haven't won in a couple of years? Does it feel extra special when you do finally win?
Well, I don't know if it's extra special, but it's definitely special to win a race anytime because they're getting harder to win every day. But, you know, the biggest thing is the confidence that wins build. And you know, not only racing with ASCS or the World of Outlaws or whatever, you know, my confidence level is going to be up for the next race, you know. And so confidence just breeds confidence. So that's a big plus, especially after, you know, not winning for over 2 years and had won a race every year my entire career, at least one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but that, it just goes to show, you know, I get a little bit of bad rap on the internet. I think, with running with the Outlaws, you know, somebody gave me a nickname of B-Main Wayne, but just goes to show you that, how tough that deal is out there and then come right back with this series and this level to win a race right off the bat. Just goes to show you that
the difference,
you know, the reason those guys are out there because they're the best in the world.
Yeah, no doubt. And the World of Outlaws are absolutely the best. That's who everybody wants to inspire to be. They want to be a World of Outlaw driver. Everybody knows that. Wayne, you're getting a little long in the tooth right now. These young drivers that we're seeing that are coming up through the ranks right now, who catches your eye maybe a little bit more than maybe some of the others that, you know, Buddy Kofoit comes to mind. I mean, he's so talented. There's so many young guys that are coming up through the ranks right now. Who really has your eye? If you were to say, keep an eye on this one young guy, who would that be?
Well, there's a couple, but I'm going to say Ryan Timms. Ryan actually drove my sprint car the very first time he ever drove a sprint car. We took him to Ardmore, and at 12 years old, he impressed the hell out of me. So, and he's still impressing me. I mean, he had a bad weekend this weekend, but, you know, that's the way racing goes. But I think he is definitely going to be the next big thing. But as far as, like, outlaw racing right now, Spencer Baston is on fire.
No doubt.
He's running the top five. He's qualifying well. And, you know, I'd have to look, but I think he's in the top, you know, five or six in points with the deal as a rookie. So, you know, there's a lot of good racers out there. They just got to get in the right opportunity with the right people. And you know, there's a lot of good talent coming up.
Yeah. It's really hard to keep an eye on all the young talent because there's so much out there, right? I mean, there is so many young, talented people out there. It's just amazing. And I think we're making a little bit of a transition right now from the old guys to the young guys, aren't we? Don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. But you know what it is you know, they start earlier now, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's
true.
We didn't have
cage carts and those kind of things as much. I mean, I'm sure they're around, but, you know, there's basically a mini sprint track or a go-kart track just about basically on every corner anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of kids that are in the sport that, when I was growing up, you know, there was a handful. There wasn't a whole bunch. So you're just seeing the quality of drivers that are getting to start way younger. And you know, you see a Ryan Timms that's 15 years old, but, you know, through the micro years, because I've been following his career for quite a while, I mean, they're pretty good friends of mine, but they, you know, that kid was racing 100 plus times a year every year since he was 6 years old. So you can't beat knowledge, and you know, that's the only way you gain knowledge is race as much as possible.
Yeah. Wayne, do we see too many, dare I say this, I say this with the respect of rich kids, right? When rich kids, because to be honest with you, there are some very talented, spoiled, rich kids that are driving race cars out there right now. They've got talent, right? They obviously have talent. But then there's a group of talented, maybe not so talented, rich kids that maybe shouldn't be out there. Do you have any issues with spoiled rich kids that have daddy's money and are getting their way to the top because they have the resources to do it? Is there any animosity towards those kind of people?
No, not for me. You know, I mean, I think growing up, you know, my dad wasn't super wealthy, but you know, I was that 15-year-old kid that had pretty good equipment growing up, and I can remember, you know, the old guys, you know, you know, they'd give me the old cold shoulder or whatever, but you just have to earn their respect. And I see a lot of these kids that are, you know, that are, that have really good equipment that, you know, they come and they're respectful and they, you know, no matter if they win or not, they're at least out there trying. Now there are a few that, and then we're not going to say any names or anything.
Right,
there are a few that are very disrespectful. I mean, I see some stuff in the pits where they're screaming at their dads and this, that, and the other. And,
right.
I just think those are the guys that won't go very far in the sport because just got to be respectful. I mean, that's – somebody asked me, and it may be in you the last time I was on the show, but somebody asked me about racing with these young kids and you know, and how aggressive they are and things. You know, I kind of was that same little kid that drove really hard, but the difference was is when you ran over Steve Kinser, he'd punch you in the face.
Right.
And so it's just a different world that we live in, honestly. You know, I think respect is down across the board no matter what you do.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to go over and punch a 15-year-old in the face.
No, that's right. But I guarantee you.
Right.
Back in the day, Steve, you know, and maybe Steve Kinser wouldn't have, but boy, he sure thought he made you think he would.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Wayne, I sure appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show, man. Are you going to go to I-30 this weekend?
It's on the schedule right now. I'm just watching the weather, and that's you know, what I tell everybody with our schedule now. We're just up in the air, and if for some reason the weather changes and it don't look like it's going to happen, we'll just sit at home. We're not going to run up and down the road with $5 diesel and waste money and sit in parking lots and those kind of things. And we just wait out when it gets closer. But right now, that's we're gearing up to go to Little Rock this weekend. And then next weekend, we'll be back on the Outlaw Trail for a little while. And then don't know from there. Like I say, it all depends on the weather.
That Little Rock's been pretty good to you, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I haven't been there in a few years. I don't remember the last time I was at Little Rock, to be honest. But we're planning on running a Power I-410 show there in a few weeks. So, kind of making my decision to go to Little Rock a little easier because I want to go and make some laps there because I don't know what they've changed or if it has changed. But been to quite a few years since I've been there, so just want to go check it out.
All right, Wayne, thanks so much for being on the show, brother. I appreciate you. And after your next win, we'll get you back on the show again. Thank you, buddy.
Well, hopefully that's next week then.
All right. I hope it is. We'll talk to you then.
All right.
All right. There you go. There's Wayne Johnson joining us on the show. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod M Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod M Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod M Supply has an assortment of Rod M's radius rods and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod M Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to RodMSupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, again live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Austin O'Neill, producer, helping us out. Kirk Elliott, my partner, sitting over there listening to the broadcast. Got the hiccups all of a sudden. I don't know what happened there. You ever get the hiccups in the middle of talking?
No.
You never do?
No.
You've never had that happen to you? Not once in your lifetime?
All right, now you're putting me on the spot. Probably, but
yes,
recent in the recent months, no.
Since you've been a radio guy?
Yes.
You haven't had that happen?
Been a radio guy since October 2nd.
Is that when you started, October 2nd?
Yep.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, the day before seniors memorial at Lakeside.
You started work coming in on Saturday mornings, right?
Yep. Yeah. Then our first show was at Julie Bowl. 51 episodes ago.
Is that crazy?
Today's 51.
Number 51 today. Is that nuts or what?
It is. Doesn't feel like it.
It just flies by, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, Marie's hanging out with us again today. We missed you yesterday, Maria. I don't know what you were doing. Oh, she said, sorry, spring cleaning.
I took the day off.
Well, that's all right. You know, you can't listen to the Racing Boys every day.
I have to.
You do? Well, yeah. Well, that's your job.
Yeah.
Hey, you didn't have any idea that Wayne Johnson nearly lost his leg, did you?
Never knew it. No. Until he said that, I never thought Wayne had an issue like that.
Yeah. Well, that was a... I'm going to say it. That was just a horrible weekend. You know, that was the weekend that Tyson Perez and Travis Rylette had their off-the-track accident. They both got burnt. Tyson ended up losing his life over that accident. It was a terrible, terrible deal. Me and Tyson had a few beers the night before, had a good time. But it was just a horrible weekend going up there, and gosh, I just hate it that Tyson Perez, I just got to know the guy, man, and we were hitting it off so well, and then he loses his life, and then, you know, Travis had to go through all that rehabilitation as far as getting back to normal after all of his burns. It burned him pretty bad. Now, let me tell you a little story. The first interview that Travis Rylette did, this is a funny story, Austin. I want you to hear this. The first time that Travis Rylette ever done an interview with anybody was with me at Devil's Bowl. And at that time, we hired the announcer for the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. And on that particular night, I think it was Ben Shelton that was working for us down at Devil's Bowl. And so I'm doing this interview with Travis Rylette, and all of a sudden, the door flies open, and Lanny Edwards comes in, and he starts screaming at me while I'm on the air. This is so funny. I'd give anything for Lanny to yell at me again. He comes in, and he didn't realize that, you know, it was my job to get an announcer. Emmett used to always tell me, here's how much money I want to pay. You find the announcers. You get them in here and do the race. This is before Brian Hobart. And Lanny come in, and he just lit me up, dropping F-bombs, just screaming at me, bloody murder, and I'm on the air. And I look at Travis Rylette, and I say, Travis, I appreciate you joining us here on the show. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. As Lanny is screaming F-bombs and everything else at me. You don't hire people to run my track. He's just going off on me, man. Well, he didn't know that Emmett told me to do this. So next thing you know, Emmett wasn't too happy with Lanny at that moment. And Tommy Estes was the race director at that time. And neither one of them were too happy with Lanny afterwards. And so I went home that night. I was just so bummed out, you know, that I'd made Lanny mad. I just didn't know what the future held for me with ASCS or going back to Devil's Bowl. I didn't know if Lanny was ever going to let me go back down there or not. And the next day, guess who I got a phone call from?
Lanny.
Lanny says to me, Scott, I'm sorry about last night. I didn't realize that Emmett wanted you to get the announcer. I didn't realize what was going on. He just went on and apologized to me. And if anybody knows Lanny Edwards, knew that that wasn't his style. He wasn't the kind of guy to come back in and apologize to people after he chewed their ass out, right? But that's what he did. He called me the next day and apologized, and it was Lanny and I were really close after that, you know. I meant to ask Wayne what it felt like to race down there without Lanny and Beverly. That had to be a little tough. That had to be a little different.
I couldn't imagine what the Edwards family or like anybody that had a relationship with them would have felt like, you know.
Yeah.
I know what it feels like to race without somebody, and it's not a fun feeling, and that's two nights back to back at a special event like that's got to be interesting.
Well, we just hope that Devil's Bowl sticks around. You know, a lot of people like to see Devil's Bowl go away. They want to build a highway through there. There's a lot of people that have businesses around that area that would love to buy that property from them.
Well, it's next to an airport, so I really don't understand they could do really much with it.
Well, they could build storage buildings. They've got a commercial area right around there that's right by the airport. Let me tell you, the wireless units down there at Devil's Bowl don't work. Did you see that Scotty did one interview on Saturday night? Did you see that?
I did see that because I tuned in to watch all the heat races and qualifying, and I was hoping to hear from Scotty because you'll never know what you're going to hear from Scotty, and it's always entertaining, and I was a little disappointed I didn't get to hear from him. But, yeah, you got to do one interview. It was with Seth.
Seth after the races.
Yeah. Not.
You know,
I've never seen a Racing Boys broadcast have a wireless issue down there.
Well, we did have some wireless issues. But the thing about it is when it was me and Scotty and, you know, our crew doing things, I could try to go up and fix the wireless unit, you know. To be honest with you, they need some antennas like what we use. We've got antennas that we put on a pole and we point them at a tower. And they pick up a...
Yeah, we made a bracket for you.
Yeah. Oh, you meant... Mm-hmm. You and your dad made that pole for me.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. I need another hole drilled in that thing.
I don't know
if I'm ever going to do another broadcast again, but you never know. Never know. All right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in to today on the show. You know, our numbers keep growing. What are we up to? We're averaging about 40, 42 states a day. And didn't we add another country? Oh, Japan. We talked
about
that
already.
Japan
and the United Kingdom.
United Kingdom, that was it. Yeah, yeah. So we got people all around the world listening to us. We got people all around the country listening to us, and we appreciate that so much. And we appreciate everybody that continues to support us, like Marie every day. We always see her there. And we're thankful that she's always, she took her aunt to lunch yesterday. All right. Well, you know what? You got to take care of your elders, Marie. That's what you do. You got to take care of those old people like me. Austin's stuck with me and Kirk. You're just stuck with us, bud.
Yeah, I know the combined age is like my age is, compared to your guys' combined age, is like 0.25%.
Well, Kirk's 65, I'm 62.
120, I'm 18, so.
Yeah, we're over 100 years older than you combined.
Yeah, plenty of experience, and it shows.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks everybody for tuning in to the show. We'll do it all over again tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. Steve Post is going to join us tomorrow. On Thursday, we're going to have Trenton Berry from Racing Dirt. We're going to be talking USMTS with him, as well as Cup Crew Chief Trent Owens, who originally was my crew chief in my ARCA car back in 2003. We'll talk to him. And then on Friday, it's Phone Fun Friday. And it'll be Kirk Elliott, Austin, and myself just sitting around shooting the bull on Friday. Again, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. See you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.